Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maimes, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I want to take a different role with you today. I want to presume that I'm going to hire you to come and preach at my church. So I've contacted you to see if you're available to do that. And I've told you that I'm quite happy to have you come and preach about whatever the Lord lays on your heart. So how do you go about preparing to come and preach at my church?
Well, that's a hard one because I don't know your congregation, so I would probably want to say, tell me where the congregation is. Do they need a word of encouragement? Do they need to be challenged? Or do they need for me to just figure out whatever I think the Lord wants me to say? It's very difficult for an outside speaker to prepare a message for a given church because he doesn't know the people that well. So usually I would go back to some sermon I preached before that was effective in a given place. That's a lot different than if my pastor says, like he did just recently, he said, would you preach for me in the next X number of weeks? And I said, no, because I'm going to be out of the country. I'm in Nigeria at that time. And well, how about doing it even next time? I say, I have too much on my plate right at the moment. I don't have the opportunity to do that. So he says, okay, well, what if we say these Sundays and then he named the month of December? And I say, well, you know, when the time gets closer, let's see where it's all going. And then you ask me. It's hard to know how to do that. I would probably quiz you more, Dean. I would say, tell me where your church is. Tell me what they have been hearing. What do you think? I would put a lot of confidence in you. What do you think needs to be preached? And why that person to come and do that? I turned down opportunities to preach because, in fact, I did just the other day. I've preached at a Chinese church in the city of Chicago a number of times, and Gordon called and asked, he said, would you come and preach for us again? And I said, you know what? I don't really know what to say there at this point in time because I don't know where the church is, and I've got an awful lot of other things on my mind right at the moment. Catch me the next time around. So I'm not sure what I would say. You kind of caught me off guard.
Let me make this suggestion to answer some of the questions that you've posed, which are very valid questions. I could tell you where I think the people are, and I could tell you things like, we are basically the result of a very heart-wrenching church split. Mm-hmm. The church has split because of actions taken by the leadership of the former church against a member of our group in a very sinful way. It would be my interpretation, obviously. But I would also say that the split was inevitable because of the theology and the direction that the denomination is taking theologically. So that's my telling you my perspective, but let's find a time when you can have, say, an hour or so available, and we'll have a conference call, and I will get four or five of the people in my congregation who I think are representative of the people that attend, and we'll sit around over a speakerphone and conference with you and let them answer whatever questions you may have and let them tell you where they are. How does that sound to you?
I would be very open to that, and I would say at the end of the time, I would probably be more prone to say, yes, I'll come, than to say, no, I don't think I want to. I don't need more times in my life to preach or necessarily even to preach sermons I've preached before, but to be able to come and minister like that would be very, very, I'm sure I would probably say yes. And probably I would call back the same people in a couple of weeks and say, this is what I hear the Lord saying to me. Does this sound like where you would like to go? That would be wonderful. I think that the whole dialogue between who's speaking and the more that individual knows about where the congregation is, the more likely you'll be able to come with a word from the Lord. You know, Jesus, if you asked Jesus to come, he would know exactly what had happened. I'm not that smart, or I'm not that gifted, you know. And there are sometimes when a message is appropriate for any congregation, but it's like one of the recent times I spoke was because a minister called. He said, I'm new in the congregation. They're wanting to receive me as their new pastor. Would you come and speak for that occasion? That was wonderful. I prepared a message for that given time. And it was exciting to put it together for me. So if you did that, I would say I would respond very positively to that.
Part of the key of that exercise is using the input from other people in the congregation. I think I'm right in remembering that you did that very thing when you were in the pastorate. You had people that you would meet with and talk to them about the direction you were thinking of going, or extracting from them where they felt their needs were at a particular time. Didn't you do that?
Yes, I didn't let them prepare my sermon for me. If, say, where our pastor is, he probably will give me a Sunday of Advent or maybe Christmas Sunday. We may not be on the podcast when it's anywhere near around December, but while we're recording, he's talking about 2 months ahead. I'll either get Christmas or New Year. Now, I won't go to the people and say, what do you think I should preach? Knowing that that's my assignment, I will probably say, okay, just say it's Christmas, not New Year's. I would prepare, this is what I think I would say to the congregation. And at that point, I would go to members of the congregation. I would probably invite them to the house for a period of 2 weeks ahead of when I'm supposed to speak. And I would say to them, this is what I think the Lord wants me to say. And they're not invited for dinner or anything. They're just invited to come and spend an hour with me. And then I would take their input as to what they think about the direction I think I'm heading. And at that point, they will tweak a lot of what I had intended to say and give me additional input. It's possible they will say to me, but I doubt it, I don't think that's appropriate at all for our congregation is. But more likely they will say, oh, here's where my situation is, and that speaks specifically to where I am, and that gives me that assurance, yeah, I'm on track. So their input is very helpful to me, but not in a start-from-scratch basis as much as, this is where I am at this point, and now give me your input before I get up and talk to the whole congregation, because you are representative of where the others are. And I presume if I had even six people do that with me, a couple students, because it's a very heavily dominated student congregation. I would say probably 2/3 of our people are college age or in their early 20s. And so I'll get from them, but I'll also get representatives of other aspects of the congregation. And that will be not only something that is helpful to me, but it kind of gives me incentive because I'm seeing how they're responding to what is being said. So yeah, I value that input a great deal, but not from scratch. I don't think I'd want to say, come up with ideas that you have for me. Mm-hmm. And that also is not very productive because it goes in all different directions. Mm-hmm. It basically says, help me fine-tune where I'm going. And that's my response. In fact, if you call, that's why I would call back and say, this is where I think the Lord is directing me. What do you think about this? I'm not asking them to tell me what to say as much as to fine-tune what it is I'm hearing God say would be appropriate.
So I hear input in two ways. First of all, in an unknown situation, gathering information about what's happening in that congregation. And then more importantly, once you've decided what the Lord might have you say, tweaking that, adding input from those individuals. Maybe they give you examples that you could use in the sermon, or illustrations, mm-hmm. or even a word of a testimony of what God's doing in their own life that will show you the kind of direction you want to go.
And they also, with their input, give me a huge jump start emotionally mm-hmm. on that sermon. I mean, it's after they have met with me, all of a sudden it's like, zoom, my mind is spinning right. as to where I'm going, and I can sort out. Sometimes ministers have said to me, you know, if I do that and then all this input comes and I don't use any of the input, the people are going to be disappointed who came and talked with me. That's not true. And the truth is, usually they give me great input. So, in fact, they become my prayer partners, and oftentimes they will say to me, how you doing with that sermon? How's it coming? You know, so it's kind of like a great shot in the arm for me.
Yeah, and it's also a great shot in the arm for them because someone has asked them for their input. And when somebody sincerely asks for input, it really does have a positive effect on people. And the idea that, well, they gave me 25 suggestions and I used 5 of them, that's not really a problem because they'll remember the totality of the experience. And they sat in the room and heard themselves and others talk, and they'll remember what was said, and they'll hear that in the sermon, and they'll feel, hey, I have a part in that. Even if their specific suggestion isn't one that you use, they will still, because they were part of that group, the group, what we call in psychology, that group dynamic will
yes.
take over.
Yes.
And they will identify themselves as a part of that group, and they will say, hey, look at what happened. God used us. We had a part in this. And they will take ownership of what you're saying on behalf of God, and that can really energize people within a congregation.
That's exactly what they do. They take ownership and they pray for you. And in fact, a lot of times when I'm preaching, I can see those people who were a part of the group and they're smiling, you know, like, you're preaching our sermon, which is very true. They are a part of it. And so many times in terms of church, the congregation is never a part of what goes on Sunday morning. They basically become what ministers don't want people to become. They become spectators. And it's almost like they're going to an entertainment event, and hopefully it's good, but they're not involved to the degree that you're talking about. So, yeah, I do that, and I do that because I want them involved. I very much want them involved. And it's worked wonders for me. I find it's just really, really beneficial. So, yeah, if somebody says, we got to get Mains to come and preach, get a group of people on the speakerphone with you and give me a feel of, I've heard many times, Dean, outside speakers come and they're quite effective, but I'm aware that they're preaching old number 7.
Sure.
They've preached that thing 30 times and they know exactly how to do it. And it becomes a performance, literally a performance. It doesn't mean there's no value in it, but it's not the same as the intense involvement we're talking about if other individuals feel like they have a part of what's going on.
Now, one of the things that I can hear some pastors saying, it sounds to me like you're abdicating your pastoral responsibility.
Oh, Dean, before you finish, I've heard that I don't know how many times. I don't know how many times I've heard that. You know, that's a phony deal. And I really think it's phony. And I think probably more than anything else they're saying, I'm intimidated by what you're saying because I've never done it before.
That's right.
I don't buy that at all. So just stop it right now, okay?
Okay. Another reality, though, is that this does not necessarily mean you won't have to work as hard. This is really not talking about how hard it is to put things together. It's talking about the effectiveness of them.
Yeah, yeah. And the truth is, you may not have to work as hard because you found that very invigorating. And the truth is, you may have to work harder than you ever thought because you want to live up to the expectations of those people. So it could be either way. Sometimes I've found that, oh man, that closing illustration, I never would have known about. But this person told me they saw this movie and it all worked out, you know. I find that it's something I always do. In fact, I find, especially in the church where I'm a part, but even more so in times when I go out, that whole interaction is such a huge thing to me. That if it's not there, in fact, I regularly, like I'll go to Nigeria and they'll say, will you preach in Nigeria? And I say, you know, I'd prefer not to, mainly because I don't know the situation in Nigeria. I'm coming in and I have another assignment. I'm doing a video for a given organization that has hired me to do this. And I don't want my mind distracted by other things. I don't need that for my own ego. But I don't think I'm the person to do that. In fact, in many times, overseas situations, the outsiders come in, they don't know squat what is going on. And you'd just be better off to sit there. And maybe if I've been to Nigeria 4 or 5 times, I might feel like I now have a word for these people. But I don't know what's going on there that I can speak to. In fact, Nigeria in the churches now, you know, as an outsider who has no trauma in my life, you know, nobody's thrown a grenade in a church in America and then seen it explode and then people running out of the churches and getting shot. That's going on in Nigeria. What do I have to say to that? You know, I have no idea. It would be presumptuous of me to say that in Nigeria. And the same way it is if I go into China, they may want me to speak. But I think many times people in China have thought, you must, you know, as outside speakers come, you must live in a different world than I'm living in because you're in la-la land, you know. So I want to have a feel of what's going on and whether I'm adequate to speak to that or not. So, yeah, they're good questions.
We're glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. And, of course, we know you found us through our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We also hope you've browsed through our website and seen the resources we have there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We produce those resources because we want to be as helpful as we can to pastors who are working hard to serve the great King and to advance the kingdom of God here on earth. We invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.